for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, May the 28th, 2000. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Ronnie Bayou of Brobridge, Louisiana, is the speaker of the evening. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
I'm on. Are you on? Praise the Lord. I saw this morning in the Spirit also a haze in this place this morning, and I was standing back there and I asked Brother Tommy, I said, is it me or am I seeing a haze in the place? And he said, no, there's a haze in the place. I wanted you to know that God is changing what is happening here at Lake Hamilton. We've been coming for some time. I love the Spirit, what God is doing here. And I love the fact that I had nothing to do with it. Some preachers like to take credit for what God's doing. I'm not that way. I'm just excited about what God is doing. There's a newness here, and there's a freshness. You can say amen.
Amen.
I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of the door. Brother Tommy talked about a door last night, and if you'll open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3, I want to get a launching pad for what I believe God wants to do tonight. How many of you know that's all right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
My folks are trained to say amen because they hear me say it enough times. So glad to have a Cornerstone Family Church with us tonight. It's always good to travel and your folks come and meet you. One of our sisters says that she wouldn't miss it because she hadn't heard me preach in a while. That means I need to go home. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I believe that God is bringing us into a time span that he is drawing us to have more intimacy with him.
Amen.
We have had all the religious artifacts that we want to have. And all the religious Christianettes that we can handle. And every 3-point and every song that we want to hear. I don't know about you, but I want more of Jesus.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, do you want more of Jesus tonight?
Amen.
I appreciate the fact that Lake Hamilton still believes and delivers. Folks, this is not a popular ministry in our country. But it's an amazing thing how when people are full of demons, they will call you and they will find you. I was counseling a woman one time, and every day, every week, at the same time, every day of that same week, that afternoon at 2 o'clock, she came in with the same demons week after week after week after week after week. And I had my list of demons. You know, I went to school, I took deliverance, I was trained, I thought. Didn't know anything about discernment. So I started going through this thing. I said, you have a problem with this? Yeah, if you have a problem with that, okay, so we'd bind them and cast them and loose them and do it. All we knew to do. And every week, it was like being in the doctor's office. She'd come over. And I said, Lord, this is not working. He said, is that so? I said, I need some help. So I called some of my other pastor friends at the time that were doing deliverance who now that don't touch that. And I said, what do you suppose we need to do because this is not working? He said, brother, I don't have the slightest idea. So that same Tuesday afternoon, at 2 o'clock, the same sister's coming in. And the Lord says, take that piece of paper and put it in the wastebasket. I said, I'm in trouble now. And I said, now what? He said, I'm going to teach you how to discern spirits. How many of you believe the church can discern what's going on?
Amen.
How many of you are feeling that God is wanting to birth something within you?
Amen.
How many of you are beginning to feel a little pregnant?
Amen.
Don't you men shout me down. How many of you feeling that God has been tugging at your spirit?
Amen.
And He's trying to get your full attention in what He wants done. How many of you then are being tired of getting the door slammed on your face?
Amen.
Turn to John chapter 10. That's Big John. The Gospel of John. I want to go a little slow tonight. I was a little fast the other day, but I want to go a little slow tonight. And I don't hold me to it because it's liable to take off. And forgive me if I belch more than I have to. It's the cucumbers in the salad. For some reason, cucumbers do not like me. And I'm really a likable guy. Just ask my wife. And Brother Glenn told you what kind of woman she is. So, you know, he's really in trouble. Because my wife is a real sweet woman.
Amen.
And we have an agreement at home. I get to run everything. Washing machine, dishwasher. And I found out that I can have the last word. You want to know what it is? Yes, ma'am, I'll do it. Hallelujah! Let's have fun tonight and let's let the Word of God minister to us. John chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entered not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth upon some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." I want to tell you tonight that some folks are trying to get in the kingdom of God, and they're nothing but thieves and robbers. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The Bible said, "But he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Turn to Exodus chapter 26. And let me try to show you what the door really looks like. This is not a wooden door. The door obviously speaks of Jesus. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say Jesus again.
Jesus.
Say there's something about that name. The Bible says demons tremble at the sound of that name. I just ministered to a young man on the phone that called here from Florida. I got caught. I went to get me some water. And he said, "Brother, I go to a non-denominational church." I said, "That's good." And he said, "I didn't go to church today because I was working on my car. It wasn't broken. I just wanted to stay home and catch up and work on my car." And he said, "I really felt that God spoke to me." And he said, "I thought God was sarcastic." I said, "You did. Tell me what God said." He said, "I could probably use you if you let me." I said, "You thought God was sarcastic?" He said, "Yes, I did." I said, "How often do you miss church to work on your car?" "Well, not more than I have to. More, you know," I said, "I don't generally, but sometimes I do." I said, "Obviously, you feel that God wants you to do something." "Yes, sir," he said, "I do." He said, "You believe in deliverance?" I said, "I do." I said, "Do you?" He said, "Yes." I said, "That wasn't a demon that spoke to you. It was God." And I said, "Sometimes God has to be very firm with us because we don't want to mind Him."
Amen.
And I said, "You know, I'm not the one to condemn you. I'm not your pastor." But he said, "And I have dreams, and God shows me all kinds of things about dreams." I said, "If I was you, I would go sit down with my pastor and tell him about my dreams. And first of all, and then I would tell him why I don't come to church when I'm working on my car. And tell him how God speaks to you. And then you'll probably understand why God is speaking to you like that." You see, there are a lot of things we want to do. We want God to fit into our schedule. But I want to take you to three doors tonight, and I want you to realize that the doors that God brings you to, they are of His choosing. We're not running the kingdom. God's running the kingdom. We're not in charge of the kingdom. Jesus is in charge of the kingdom. It's not our church. It is His church. You're not my people, you're His people.
Amen.
And you're not called by my name, but you're called by His name.
Amen.
And if you enter any other way, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
There's a door tonight, and He said, "If He will come in and He will sup with you." How many of you know if Jesus came to your house tonight, what would you begin to think that you could possibly prepare for Him to eat? He wants you.
He wants your fellowship.
Yes.
He wants your intimacy.
Yes.
He wants your love. You can't fix him steak and potato. He's not interested in that. He's interested in you becoming the bread of God. You must be in Exodus 26 by now.
Verse 34 says, and thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. Now, I want to take you there tonight, but not just yet. And thou shalt set the table without the veil, and the candlestick over against the table of the side of the tabernacle towards the south, and thou shalt put the table on the north side. Then thou shalt make a hanging for the door. How many of you know that this door was speaking of Jesus? Of the tent, or the tabernacle, or the booth. Who is the tabernacle of God tonight? Come on, raise and wave at me. You are the tabernacle of God tonight. You are the dwelling place where God lives tonight.
Yes.
And you are the one that controls whether you open the door to let him come in or you keep it shut. And when you come into the presence of God, it is not a time for you to shut the door.
That's right.
It is the time for you to open up and be as you are in the presence of an almighty God. And he will come on in, and he will sup with you, and you will have fellowship together. And he says the door of the tent is blue, of blue. Blue speaks of the deity of God. This is descriptive of what the majestic presence of God is. He is blue. He speaks of his deity. He is open. And Jesus wants an open relationship with you. Not something hidden in the closet or sitting in the back pew of a church. Because the Bible says we are the church of the living God. And purple. Do you know that color is not in there just because it fits? The purple speaks of the royalty. Can I help you a little bit tonight? You know that you're royalty? The Bible says you are a holy priesthood. A royal priesthood.
Yes.
And you're peculiar. That makes you strange to the world. The world is not finding purity and holiness in the traditional church. I wonder if Jesus would manifest himself tonight in his full glory if we could stand it. I believe that most of us, including myself, would say no. And I've been in some places where God has manifested himself, and I tell you, it was almost unbelievable. Because we have become such creatures of habit. We figure out all our little songs, all our little poems, all our little church programs. And after we get through doing all that we want to do, we ask Jesus if he would please come. I wonder what would happen if the church would just walk on in the next service and just fall on their faces and just really begin to worship Jesus. And notice that God is very used very loosely all the time. God this and God that and God this. But you know, the Bible didn't say there was power in the name of God. It said there was power in the name of
Jesus.
Say it again.
Jesus.
Say it again.
Jesus.
There's power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And scarlet speaks of the blood, the red. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And the fine twined linen wrought with needlework. Jesus, thread by thread, one at a time, he sews by the Holy Ghost. And he builds. And he's establishing us to becoming the church of the living God. What's in this room tonight is enough to change the whole world. There's a tremendous move in Pensacola. There's a tremendous move in Missouri. There can be a tremendous move here because he's in us. And he's knocking at the door of your heart tonight. And he said, if you let me in, I'm going to come and sup with you. I believe if we really invited Jesus to come and sup with us, he wouldn't leave. And most of you would try to figure what else he wants to eat. Wouldn't you? You're awfully quiet tonight. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Matthew 22 now. And then we're going to get into our text. Just setting a little ground rule about the door. How many of you know it's important for us to know where we're going? Here's a good question. Matthew 22, verse 36 says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy... I don't think that leaves anything out, does it? All your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. He said, this is the first and great commandment. But he didn't stop there. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then he went on to say, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He didn't say he did away with the law. He said, and all these, what hangs? All the law and the prophet. Most doors have two hinges. Two speaks of the witness of God. Now turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to use that as our text tonight. Samuel talks about Elkanah had two wives. Most men can't handle one. Hallelujah. But in parallel, we're going to see that there's a natural church, and then there's a spiritual church. And before we can be spiritual, we come into it naturally. Hello. And God begins to build things in us, and He begins to develop fruits in us, and He begins to develop attributes in us, and this nature of God begins to build in us, that till we get to the place where we don't want anything else but Jesus. But as long as we're in bondage to the world and its system, and legalism, and traditions, and religious systems, you've been hearing this, all this camp, as long as we're in bondage to that, we will only bring forth that which is natural and not which is spiritual. In the three doors, we're going to find cleansing, pruning, and weaning, being weaned. Some of you are going to lose your pacifiers tonight. Don't shout me down because we're having a good time. 1 Samuel chapter 1 speaks of Elkanah. In verse 2 it says, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, which means grace. And the name of the other, Peninnah, or Pinnah, had children, but Hannah had no children. Does God have children? Who do they look like? Like Him. The Lord's church does not look like the world. We're peculiar, remember? We're holy and we're separated unto God. Elkanah speaks of a man possessed by God. Now, if you're possessed by devils, you've got to get set free, but it's okay to be possessed by God. How many of you have the Holy Ghost? Raise your hand. How many of you, the Holy Ghost has you? How would you like to be in the position of this man when he had two wives? This guy raised his hand. You're really looking for trouble. But one brought forth a child, but the other one did not have any children. This speaks of the two churches or the two women spoken of in Galatians when he says one was born of the bondwoman and one was born of the free one. Brethren, I submit to you, we are not born of the bondwoman. We have been born from the free woman, and that which is born from above is born and is free. But Hannah, who speaks of the grace of God, had problems. She wanted a baby. Say she wanted a baby.
She wanted a baby.
It's a woman's desire to have a baby. It's God's desire that we bring forth a child. But it's not as we suppose. God wants to bring forth His Son. He wants to bring forth a man-child in us. He wants us to grow up into full maturity. I know a little bit about pastoring. Just a little bit. It gets pretty tiring when you got to change diapers all the time. You got any pastors in here, wave at me. You know what I'm talking about. Cleaning their nose all the time. Babysitting them all the time. Tell them that everything's going to be all right. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is going to take care of everything. Oh, you precious, sweet little thing. Everything is wonderful. And then they begin to tell you what's really wrong with them. After you give them the counsel of God, they want to tell you what's wrong with them because they can fix it. See, the problem with the church is we've tried to fix everything for so long. We've been caretakers. Instead of plowing the ground, we want to fix everybody and take care of everybody. Folks, if I have any message for you tonight, I want to say this to you. It's time to grow up. God wants us to go to a higher realm where we can be in His presence. He has manifested His glory to a degree here already in camp. We've had tremendous healings, words of knowledge, words of prophecy. A haze, a spirit of God like I haven't felt in this camp in a long time. And I believe I have the liberty to say that. I love Brother Glenn and Sister Irma dearly. I've been knowing them for some time. We've had them stay in our home. And he's a mess to keep in your home. He won't stay still. Finally, he talks about raising Cajun. Finally, got him to go and lay on the floor. I guess he hadn't figured out why God made beds yet. He sleeps on the floor. Of course, they told me people that came from California was strange anyway. Hallelujah! But my last night, I'm hitting you and run.
Yeah, but I know how
to
catch you.
Yes, he sure does. But I'm moving and I didn't tell him. Glory to God. Two women involved in this. The natural woman and the spiritual woman. Most of us don't like cleansing. This is not very kosher, but you know when you take an X-lax, you never know what's going to happen. You have no more control over it. I'm trying to bring you somewhere. But if you let your heart be open in the presence of God, He'll give you the best laxative you ever had. And when God cleans you, He does a good job. He spoke about us in the parable of the vine and the branches. He says, now you are clean through my word. But we're always looking for another message, another touch, another anointing to fix us up. What do you do with a mess? Clean it up. Have you made a mess of your life? Join the club. But tonight, I believe God wants to clean you up. Because you see, in the 30-fold realm, when we come to God, we have to be what they call born again. That means we come to the brazen altar and we get our sins judged at the brazen altar. But guess what happened when you got born again? You didn't get fixed. God began a work in you, like said in Philippians 1:6, but He hasn't completed it yet. Because everything with God is progressive. And I believe with all my heart that God wants to move in this place like He wants to move in every church across America. But we're going to have to open the door and we're going to have to let the door be open at all times that He might come and sup with us individually and corporately and we can have supper and fellowship with one another that we don't have to be afraid. We're not in competition with one another. I want to know what you've got. I want to hear what you've got. I want you to put something into me. I'm tired of putting something in the church. The church needs to put something back in the vessels of God.
Amen.
Pardon me if I preach a little bit. I'm feeling a little Pentecostal. Got an itch coming on. My little songbird's back there. You ought to be sitting on the front row. Turn me on. Glory to God. I like to be around them ladies. They're precious. Have an anointing. What do you do? Got to get your head straight. What is your greatest passion tonight? What drives you? Why are you here? What are you looking for? I hope Jesus. If you came looking for me, you really messed up. If there was one thing that you could do, and you could do well tonight, what would it be? Do you realize that God has put potential in every one of us? Do you also know that God has called every one of you? And do you believe He doesn't want to haul you? He just called you. I preached the message some time ago, don't put the cart before the horse. We came through a time in the charismatic movement that everybody wanted a ministry. And then everybody was called. And then we got hooked up with the AP and company. That's not the food store, the pastor and the prophet. Everybody. Everybody's an apostle. Everybody's a prophet. Nobody wants to do the work of the ministry. Why do you think John said, I'm one crying in the wilderness? Make way the way of the Lord. Prepare yourself, church. We can have it all. But we're going to have to get cleaned up. I don't know about you, but I can boldly confess that I'm a mess. Matter of fact, I wish Sister Irma, I got saved last week. This is my second sermon. How am I doing? Think I'll make it?
Amen.
Sister Irma says she doesn't know. I'm still a mess. Are you possessing your soul tonight? That you should love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your... We gave our heart to Jesus, and He didn't give it back to us. We have to give God our mind, our will, and our emotions. We have a doctor in the house tonight. You know, if I was a patient of his, when I walked into his office, I don't want to see the nurse. I want to see him. So when we come and have fellowship, we don't want to see the song leader. We want to see him. We want him to come. But see, God's ways, folks, are not like ours. We don't go to his house with dirty feet. We got to keep cleaned up. And we do that by going to 1 John chapter 1. He says, if you have any sins or if you confess any unrighteousness, he is faithful and just to forgive you. Verse 2 said he had two wives, and the name of one was Hannah, the name of the other was Peninnah, and Hannah had no children. He was barren. This man went up out of his city yearly to worship and sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Shiloh speaks of a place of rest. And two of the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife, or Pena, one scripture says, to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. It makes a difference when we try to get into the presence of God in our attitudes. We cannot force God, Jesus, to manifest himself. But if we'll receive him willingly and we'll open ourselves up to him, he declared, church, that he would come and sup with us. He would come and live with us. And he would make his presence known. Next time you come to church service, how would you like to get into the church building and God would just manifest his presence? Wouldn't that be glorious? And you didn't have to work for it? He's going to be checking your attitude. Make sure that you come with clean hands and clean feet and a clean mind. I know this is serious. I didn't have any plans on preaching on this tonight. But for us to understand what it's going to take for us to be overcomers and for us to get into that third dimension, we're going to have to clean up our act. It's not a message that's going to get you there. It's not an apostle or a prophet or a pastor or an evangelist or teacher that's going to get you there. You're going to get yourself there. And it's going to require you doing something. I'm looking for the time where the band doesn't even have to strike a note, Brother Glenn, and we can just fall on our face like we're supposed to anyway and humble ourselves in the presence of Almighty God and let God be God and let Him, the Holy Ghost, conduct the service instead of the man sitting up there and just rattling his mouth and try to get somebody happy and get a bunch of folk, get some goosebumps up, rubbing up and down their spine.
Amen.
Laying hands on a few folks, said, be healed! Man, don't feel any better than a flat potato. Nothing's happening. Got to get your head straight. Verse 3 said, and this man went up out of his city. You know, it's important for us to go in the right direction. I believe I can get home if I follow the directions. My wife said that'd be debatable. I'm believing God for a sense of direction on the highway. That's not my cup of tea. She always handles the map and I do the driving. But in the spirit, God wants to bring us away. And I believe the way is called holiness and purity.
And when we start praising God and really worshiping God in spirit, like you said, and in truth. Told the little church, the little woman at the well, he says, you know, you don't know what you worship or who you worship. I believe, actually, he told her, you don't even know who you are. And she began to defend her religion. She says, well, I'm of Abraham, and my father built this well, and we did this, and we did that. Then he begins to tell her about her condition, how she's living, how many times she's been married, what she's doing now. And then she gets all excited, and she goes to town. She says, come see a man that told me all things about me. I believe when we really face true prophets that really operate with the prophet's mantle, we may not like to hear what God has to say. But as long as we have the shake and bake kind, hello, they prophesy out of their own hearts. Come on, the Bible said it. Tommy told it to you for 2 days. They prophesy lies out of their own hearts. And they're not taking you anywhere. I believe the smallest child in here would worship God with a pure heart and could help us get ushered in to His presence. Because all it takes is childlike faith. We're looking for the big thing. Say the big thing. We've got to go in the right direction. How many of you want to go in the right direction tonight? Verse 4 says, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penah his wife and to all his sons and her daughter's portion. But to Hannah he gave a worthy portion. You know that worthy portion, if you take time to study it, speaks of a double portion? Double. Could you handle more than what you have tonight? The Hebrews believed when they received a worthy portion of the priest, that they would actually see the face of God. And by that I mean they would see the countenance of God on the face of the priest. And they knew that they had been in the presence of God. We're living in great times. These people long to have what we have today, Brother Glenn. Look at your neighbor and say, God's looking for you. Quit hiding. It actually speaks of two faces, a double part, signifying that Elkanah, the man of God, gave the showbread which was presented to God in God's presence. It speaks of the bread of faces, signifying he gave to Hannah, which means grace of God, a special part signifying his love for her. Oh, how he loves you and me. He sang it tonight. I'm trying to be very simple tonight. Oh, how he loves you and me. You know, the Bible says we can't measure the love of God. And he gives to us freely. All he's looking for is for a vessel to pour himself into. You know, the greatest moves of God that I've seen while I've been ministering is when I had very little to say. My wife rolled her eyes. She said, maybe you ought not say anything else. Think about it. The Bible says, be still. Psalms 46, and know that I am God. We don't have to drum anything up. We don't have to put anything on. Now, here's a woman or a type of church, one who brought forth child and the other one who could not conceive at that point, because the Bible says her womb was shut. But the love of God is what draws us. And because Elkanah so loved Hannah, he didn't have pity towards her. He loved her so much. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What did you and I offer Jesus for him to give us anything? There's nothing we could offer him. But he loved us so much, he gave first. Now, giving is not a one-sided relationship. He wants you to give him something back. He gave you his son. He wants you to give him your love. He gave his life. He wants you to give your life. How far would you go with the love of God tonight? To what heights would you go? How much are you willing to do for the kingdom of God? He gave her a worthy portion. Why did God shut her womb? He wanted to make an attitude adjustment. Why is it sometimes we feel that heaven is closed to us? God's making some adjustments in you.
Please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.
Oh, you would go, ooh, a whole lot if you know that some of the churches that I have to go to and what they believe. They almost have to know what you believe before they let you preach. I don't know about you, but that's not a nice place to be. It was a whole lot easier pastoring because I could preach what God laid on my heart. Ain't that right, sister?
Amen.
We need to get the message out. God loves you, but He wants you. And He's not going to give you up. Let's move on. Verse 6 says, "And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her wound." How many of you know when you think you did something wrong, the devil's going to bombard you? I said, the devil's going to bombard you.
Amen.
But the Bible says, give no place to the devil. But here's Hannah. She is fighting in her soul because the other woman has a child and she has none. Here is a competitive spirit. Have you noticed when you're traveling that there's churches on every street corner? They all profess to love Jesus or God. They're in competition with one another. I was driving along one day and I heard God sing this song to me. Two kids arguing about how big God is. Said, "My God's bigger than your God. My God's bigger than yours." And the little kid across the street says, "My God's bigger than your God. My God's bigger than yours." And because they were in competition, they could not fellowship.
Right.
Unless you've read the whole book, I've got news for you. God's not dividing His kingdom because you go to the first church or you go to the church of the Frigidaire or you don't go to any church at all. You're not bringing any name tag with you to heaven. Should you go there before He comes and establishes His kingdom on the earth, because that's His desire. Just want you to think about some things tonight. Tonight is just sobering thinking. Look at your neighbor and say, God's heart is towards you. Here's the problem. She was not fulfilled. What happens to you when you're not fulfilled? Start backbiting, murmuring and complaining. Well, bless God. I was at a pastor's meeting and the prophet stood up and prophesied to this young little whippersnapper who was a young pastor. And he said, God said, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he looked at me and we walked out into the lobby. He said, why didn't God tell me that? Why he had to talk to that man? I said, because you wouldn't listen. This is why God is speaking to the church through apostles and prophets and other men of God, because they're not listening. I want to tell you something. Your place in the body of Christ is just as important as those in the fivefold ministry. Without you, we have no church. And here she was in the place of her life, like most of the churches today, she was feeling unfulfilled. I know that you're honest. So I'm going to ask you an important question tonight. How many of you are being fulfilled in the church that you're attending right now? And the rest of you don't know what you feel. That's one. That's about the percentage. You go to a church, but you're not getting fed. Is that right? You kind of hope the pastor would get it all together. You kind of hope he'd get a little bit more than Shandarabaka Harabasihilamahaya. And hey, hallelujah. Oh, God! And the choir stands up and they sing, "Oh, how He loves you and me." The pastor says, "Now, let's close. Anybody got any needs?" Everybody raise their hand. The pastor, "I need deliverance." All right. "Devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you to go to the sea of unforgetfulness. In Jesus' name, go!" And the people come back next week, twice the child of the devil. Because all it is, make them nervous. Well, I believe, God's not interested in what you believe.
Amen.
But Pastor, can I give a testimony? I really believe this is God. All right, let's see. This is really God. I just got to read one scripture. Probably the only one they read all week. Oh, I'm getting dangerous now, Brother Glenn. I don't know where we're going now. When we're not
fulfilled, we become hazardous to the kingdom. We become dangerous to one another. But God said that you might be full of the Holy Ghost and power.
Amen.
When's that going to happen? On the day of Pentecost. When Jesus comes back.
Well, I don't know why God's always thinking about me. I mean, I don't know why she can have a baby. I can have a baby. I don't know why. Nothing ever happens to me. I get prayed for and I don't feel nothing.
Well, bless your heart. I pray for a whole lot of folks to get healed and I don't ever feel nothing. It has nothing to do with feelings, folks. It's a relationship. It's loving God. Loving Jesus with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Now, can you believe this happens to folks that are saved? Now they get double troubles because they get tongues in trouble. They get filled with the Holy Ghost. And they get baptized and have gifts and talents and everything. Do you ever watch two Ben members? They stand up there and one guy's not kind of playing the way the other guy wants. And he wants to be... He said, all of a sudden, he's in competition when the scripture says, prefer your brother. Just like when Doc or anybody else is casting out demons, and here you are sitting there telling a joke or telling what you ate for dinner instead of getting behind that leaf, pray.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
You're not preferring the brethren. And when you don't prefer the brethren, you're not putting Jesus first.
Amen.
But all I want to do is have a baby.
That'll solve everything, won't it? Oh, if we could just have a move of God in here tonight. That would solve everything. No, it wouldn't. There's a whole, you know, everywhere I go, they ask me this one question. He says, oh, brother, could you come and have revival in our church? No, I can't. Why? I said, because God's just sending us some refreshing winds right now. But when he does what he said he was going to do in the book of Joel and other places, when he sovereignly moves the way he wants to move in the lives of the people, he's going to come and make his abode. That means we ain't leaving. Now get ready, because on the 4th of July, should we have, we break forth in revival and God begins to move, you better sell everything you have because you can't go home. God's going to be living here. I don't want to be anywhere else. I want to be where God is. Because in his presence is fullness of joy, and I'm going to get fulfilled. As long as I'm trying to drum something up, I'm not going to get anything. Brother Glenn warned you. He told you I was wild. Called me the raging Cajun. I don't know if that's good or not.
Here's the thought. Get out the way and let God move.
That's right. Amen.
Here's another one. This is real spiritual. If you're tired of sinning, get out of the devil's orchard.
Amen.
Going home watching paint plays and come here and want to be holy. As the world turns.
Whatever other world they have.
I go to my mother's and she has Young and the Restless. I said, Mom, what are you doing? She said, I'm watching the Young and the Restless.
They sure are restless. But isn't the church restless sometimes?
Isn't it? Aren't you getting tired of going to the same old songs? The same announcements? The same program? Man, we had church tonight. Oh, that show was fired up. Oh, hallelujah, God.
Say, what'd God say?
I don't know.
But it was good.
It sure was good to be there. I'm feeling better already. And the next one, another grin. I'm so pressed. I don't know what's happening to me. Last night, God was there, but I don't know where he went today. He must have left. He was back in glory. I need some help.
I don't know if I'm going to ever get to this message. I'm going to have to chalk this up. The second door, baptism of the Holy Ghost. How many of you have been enjoying the Holy Ghost?
Amen. Amen.
You find something else happened to this little woman. I mean, I just hope you can find yourself in here tonight. It's only 9 o'clock, folks. Brother Glenn said we're good for midnight. So verse 9 says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh. Now, can you imagine after taking a nap and resting in the presence of God and they had drunk, and now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, the Bible said, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, and I will give him unto the Lord and all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon the earth. Doesn't this sound like a person who's... They just wear you down. And the Bible said, and it came to pass in verse 12, that she continued praying before the Lord, and Eli marked her mouth. Most of you in the church as you go, if your pastor had any stamina at all, and he needed to mark your mouth and correct you, you'd get mad and leave, and take half the folks with you. But we want revival. We want God to change us. It's a mess. And you're the only person, and I'm the only person, that can fix the mess. I have a dear pastor friend of mine. Of course, I thank you, sisters, and sticking with us. And I turned the church over to my wife on January 1st. She became pastor. But everybody in town knew what I did. And my brother, another part of the country, he turns the church over to a woman, and half his church gets up and leaves. I don't know what Bible some folks read, but I believe in the Lord we're all the same. Now, if the priest, who was Eli, would mark her mouth. Now, if some men of God had to walk up to you and speak correction to your life, why would that make you mad? Correction is like pruning. That's the second phase you get to. The second door, God wants to prune you. Because in the dimension where he wants to take the church, you're not bringing your opinions in there. You're not bringing your church programs in there.
That's right.
You're not bringing your preconceived ideas in there. Because in the Holy of Holies, beyond the veil, is the presence of a holy God. And everything that is not of God will either die at his feet or be removed. The picture of Jesus cleansing the temple is a good picture of what he was trying to relate to the church. And the reason that we keep bouncing up and coming down and bouncing up and coming down is because we're not scratching the surface. Our praise has not gone all the way up. And our worship needs cleansing. And there are things in your life, in my life, that God wants to prune back. Because in the parable, he says, then you will bring forth much. The progression of the seed, and then the plant, and then the fruit. The root is what determines what the fruit's going to be. So if you're not connected to the right root, you're not bringing forth righteous fruit. Well, I'm pretty sure it's going to be my last night, Brother Glenn. They look awfully mad. Till next time. Where did we leave off? Verse 9, verse 12. Now Hannah, verse 13, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved. Isn't that good? She spake in her heart, only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. The thing about pruning is when God brings his correction, our lips ought to be going, it's time to examine our hearts and find out why he's saying what he's saying to us. I know this is a little different than what you've been getting all week, but this is good stuff. We need to be pruned. Look at her position. Look at her condition. She's murmuring, folks. She's having a hard time. She's wrestling with her soul. Verse 14 says, and Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Cut not thy handmaiden as a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hereunto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thy handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. At this point, she's having an attitude change. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel. God raising a prophet. Saying, because I have asked of him the Lord, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer up unto the Lord their yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. Everybody say, weaned. The weaning process is very important. I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost 3 weeks after, and I thought I was ready to take on the footsteps of Isaiah the prophet. And the first utterance I had in me, I thought, Thus saith the God of Israel. And then nothing else came. And I thought, now what? So the next time I had an utterance, I said nothing. And fear began to grip my heart. And God's so good. Do you know what he told me? Do you think I would let you drive my chariot in your condition? I have galaxies you have no idea what I'm talking about. But you want to prophesy as one of my prophets, as the holy oracles of God? You don't even know who you are. I said, ain't that the truth? So what I'm saying to the church and to you tonight is, some of you want to be elevated, some of you want to go into another level. But you should have enough wisdom to know that if your 2-year-old child says, I want the keys to the car and the credit cards, thank you, I'm going to town tonight, you would not think twice about lending him your keys. Because you're going to wreck the car if you even gets it out the driveway. And should by chance he get to town and pick up 2 or 3 of his buddies, he's going to really max out your cards. Because he has no wisdom. But we want to go and do great, mighty things for God. God says, now, church, it's time for us to grow up. And in the growing process, when we begin to get weaned, God has to take away our pacifier. Let me tell you something about a pacifier. That is about the ugliest thing I've ever seen. And some of us look at times that we're sucking on a pacifier. And we get aggravated because nothing is coming. Well, then we press hard because we have no teeth. You understand, we're still babies. But we can make an utterance. We go, and so if the mama can't handle it, she goes, oh, shut up, baby. Come here, let mama comfort your little heart. The Bible says, how long will you love simplicity? Think about it. God, not only are we a speck of dust, God holds the whole universe in the palm of his hands. But yet, we want to go up to the third heavens and tell God how to run his kingdom. And we couldn't even back out of the driveway without getting in trouble. This is why God said, I will have pastors after my own heart. We've had way, 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 way too many Korahs. Self-ordained, self-appointed. Notice when somebody gets saved feeling the Holy Ghost, they get a little learning. 2-3 week seminar. I'm ready to take the world. Good, if you think you can handle it, go to China with no help. Let's see how far you get. As this man, he knows what it takes to go to China.
We did that.
Now what? But when we go to the third heaven, or when we get into his presence, he will give you instructions.
And he will speak with clarity.
I don't know about you, but when you have a roaring fire going, and it's making those popping, cracking, little sounds, and someone is standing on the other side, the sound of what they're saying becomes muffled, doesn't it? But all of a sudden you get smart and you find that you can come around that fire and get to the other side and get face to face with that person, and then you can hear them. But God brings along a bush in your life that appears that it did to Moses that's burning, but it's not burning. And there will be times in your life when you begin to smell the scent of flesh, and it is your flesh that's burning. You're the guy on the barbecue pit on the brazen altar. You're the meat that God has put in His pit. And He wants your fat to become a sweet smelling savor in His nostrils. And when at the appointed time He will speak to you again and He will bring forth the nature of His Son in you, He will usher you in to the Holy of Holies and He'll say, "Welcome home, son. Come in, church."
And we don't have to muster nothing up, because we're in His presence and He's just having His way. I don't have all the answers, and I don't know how God's going to do this, but I want to tell you something. I've been in some presence and some moves where I've watched the Holy Ghost of God just roll into the church building like waves. And I don't know if you can handle this, but I can always tell when God's around, I hear His wind blowing. And then everybody begins to get very hazy because the anointing begins to take place just like it's doing right now. And God begins to move. And He begins to do what He does best. That's to heal, to deliver, to make whole, to encourage, to bless, and to fulfill every desire of His heart that He's put in you. I am never happy unless I'm doing what God tells me. Hannah had to get to a place where she left the natural realm. She brought forth a son, but she was willing to give that son up for Jesus. But in the process of her giving that son up, before she could offer him, in that time of worship and service, God brought her to a weaning process. He began to remove things from her life. He began to take some weights off of her. And He began to develop a nature in her where she didn't have to do anything, she wanted to. The church has been abused. She's been raped. She's been left for dead. She's been taken advantage of. And God's saying it is time to heal. It is time to heal. I want you to close your Bibles. Hallelujah. Brother Phil, can you play, brother, just for a few moments? Glory to God. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Many of you have had humorous amounts of deliverance this week. And I want to encourage you that some of that is going to continue. And I believe if I heard the voice of God tonight, and this does not apply just to women, it applies to men. We have all been hurt. We've all been battered. We've all been bruised. We've all been discouraged, disappointed. And sadly but true, most of that has come from other church folks. Hallelujah. In just a moment of time, I'm going to ask you to examine your heart. There's quite a few of you tonight, you've hidden the pain in your heart. And you've hidden it way deep inside. You don't want anybody else to know it, but God knows that it's there. You don't want to leave this camp meeting this week, because some of you have driven a long way. And you put off a lot of things to get here. And Brother Glenn and Sister Irma and all of us, we appreciate that very much. But there's some buried pains, some abuse,
mental, physically, sexual abuse. This is the time to get cleansed and purged or pruned. God does not want you to leave tonight without receiving healing for your body. And you say, well, preacher, I've dealt with some of that, but obviously you haven't dealt with all of it. Because this has been the...
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.